For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
We come to you and we invite you to have your way. Lord, in this message tonight, we come with open hearts and open ears, ready to hear and learn from the Word of God. And we give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So tonight, God manifest in the flesh. So firstly, 1 Timothy 3:16, and the scripture says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So the scripture is clear, and this is talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that Jesus Christ came to earth for us as a man while yet still being God, and he was manifest in the flesh. So the scripture is clear that God was manifest in the flesh and walked amongst us. Praise the Lord. And he was here for 33 years. God was manifest in the flesh. And these things testify of him. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Praise God. So there need be no doubt in our mind that Jesus Christ is God. And he was manifest in the flesh here on earth as our Saviour. If we have a look in John 1, verses 1 to 5, this is what the scripture says. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So that's Word with a capital W. And one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has titles given to him and they're shown in the Word of God, like the Lamb of God, one of them is the Word. That's his title with a capital W, the Word. He's called the Word. So the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So it's saying that Jesus Christ is God. The Word was God. And it's telling us in these verses that Jesus Christ is the Creator. He created all things, because the scripture says all things were made by him. So he's the one that did the creating. In the beginning, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the title of the Lord Jesus, one of them, is the Word, and it's saying here, the Word was with God and the Word was God. He is the Creator. He is the Creator. So it's telling us that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning. And he is also God. He is God. And he was manifest in the flesh to be our Saviour. So the Word. And the scripture says in John 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. So we know that one of the titles of the Lord Jesus is the Word, and the scripture says the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And that's talking about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. He was made flesh and he dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. He lived here on earth as a man, in his ministry, as a healer, as a preacher, as a teacher, and became our sacrifice by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. The Word was made flesh. So, as I said, one of the titles of the Lord Jesus is the Word. So him and his Word, they are in perfect agreement. The Word was made flesh, and he always fulfills his Word. He honours his Word. He preached his Word. Preached the Word of the Father. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, these are all titles of the Lord Jesus. He was the child of promise, promised as far back as Isaiah 9:6 and even prior to that in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was the child of promise. He was the one who the government shall be upon his shoulder, and these were his names and are his names. He was the child of promise. So the Word became flesh, and the scripture says clearly here that he is called, his name shall be called, and in those is the Mighty God. The Mighty God. The Mighty God. So there's no doubt from the scripture that Jesus Christ is God. He has no beginning. He has no origin. He was and is and always will be God. And for a period of time, he came to earth and he was manifest in the flesh for a specific purpose, to be the redeemer of mankind. God himself became mankind's redeemer. And there was a very essential reason for that. In Luke 1:35, for instance, the scripture says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," that's the angel speaking to Mary, the mother of Christ, "and yet the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke 1:35. So the virgin birth is essential for the redemptive work of God. And the reason for that is because it was essential that God was the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and Mary, the human woman, was the mother. And it was a divine conception, a divine birth, divine situation here that happened to bring about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for that, it had to be God himself who became flesh because his blood had to be pure and sinless. Not born of a human father, because the blood of all mankind is tainted with sin, born of two human parents. It is tainted with sin. So a human father would have just carried on the sinfulness, and that was not enough. Because the blood sacrifice to redeem mankind had to be sinless blood, pure blood. But he was also man, he had a human mother, but he had God as his father, so he was both God and man, and his blood was pure. His blood was pure. So that blood that was shed for us on the cross was sufficient to pay the price, to be the blood sacrifice for man's sin. So that's why it was essential that God himself became the Redeemer, but born of a human being, because we are human beings and we needed a human being to be our sacrifice. But only God himself, becoming man, was sufficient to pay that price with his sinless blood. Matthew 1:23, and the scripture says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So, you see, Jesus Christ, he also had a name, Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. God with us. That was the name given to him. God with us. Emmanuel. So the scripture is clear. The scripture is clear. Jesus Christ is God. And he was God, born of a virgin, but also man. That's why he called himself the Son of Man. But he was also called the Son of God. Also, both. Both. So here in 1 Peter 1:18 to 20, we see why Christ had to be perfect and sinless. 1 Peter 1:18 to 20, the scripture says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." You see, God always had that plan of redemption in his heart. He always had that to put into place if man rejected God, what happened in the Garden of Eden. And Adam took on Satan by disobeying God. The Father took on Satan as his Lord when he chose to disobey God's express commandment to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he did. And from that time forth, his nature changed to be a corrupt, sinful, spiritually dead nature with Satan as his Lord. And right through the Old Testament, up until the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, they sacrificed an animal every year. The nation of Israel did that. That lamb was sacrificed every year as a covering for sin. so that God could have a relationship with his people and be their God, because sin cannot be in the presence of God. But sinful man had a covering for a year. And each year they would do that, sacrifice the animal, and it covered their sin so that they could be God's people. But God had a better plan, which was foreordained from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, the scripture says, and that was to have the perfect sacrifice, the one last perfect sacrifice, when no more sacrifice was needed after that. God himself, the Lamb of God, born of the woman, the virgin, with the precious blood, sinless blood, that would only have to be sacrificed one time, once for all, the scripture says, and that was enough. So it was his precious blood which was sufficient to pay the penalty, man's, the price needed to redeem mankind. And so that we could be reconciled to God the Father when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Saviour. So we can be reconciled to God the Father and have a relationship that not even was possible in the Old Testament, to actually be the children of God, adopted children of God, where our natures are changed, born again, and been made sinless on the inside, the inner man. So that was a redemptive plan of God. And Hebrews 9:22 scripture says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." That's why the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was necessary. There's no other thing that could be sufficient to pay the price for sin. Good works wouldn't do it. An animal sacrifice was not sufficient to have that change of the human spirit. But the blood of Christ was enough. Christ's blood had to be untainted to be the sacrificial payment for sin, and his blood was sufficient to pay the price for sin. That's the power of the eternal blood of Christ. Without shedding of blood is no remission. In Titus 2:13-14, the scripture says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's what he has accomplished for us, and that's what is in the redemptive plan of God. And the scripture says clearly that the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He is our God and our Saviour, who has redeemed us, those who believe on him, redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people, peculiar, different from the world, born again, changed on the inside, a peculiar people, zealous of good works, who, being born again, want to do the works of God because we are changed people. So the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. In Hebrews 10:5, the scripture says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." So God the Father prepared the human body for Christ. And therefore Christ was both God and man. He was born of the virgin, the woman, the human. And he had God the Father as his Father. And that's what the word begotten means. If you hear it in the scriptures, like the word begat, it's from the word begat. And you'll see such and such begat such and such. It means fathered. That's what it means. So Christ was the only begotten Son of God. And a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared him the body. In the womb, God prepared him the body, and his blood was the blood of eternal God. Acts 20:28, the scripture says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So here clearly the scripture says that the church was purchased with the blood of Christ, the blood of God. So it says that Christ is God because he has purchased the church with his own blood. God purchased the church with his blood, Jesus Christ shed his blood, so Christ is God who has purchased the church. And the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So here it's saying to us that Christ Jesus is God and the mediator. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said he's the only way to God the Father. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life, and there is no other. So there is one God and one mediator between God the Father and men, the man Christ Jesus, who is the bridge. At the door. He calls himself the door. So that sinful man can come to God the Father by being changed, by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and the transformational work of the Holy Ghost. So the man Christ Jesus is God also. 1 John 4:2 and 3. The scripture says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And this is important to know, because it's saying to us that if a spirit confesses that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, you know they're of God. If they don't confess that, they are not of God. And it's important to know that cults, every cult, and also modern versions also attack God being manifest in the flesh. It's an area they attack. And I'll give you an example. The NIV, for instance, says that Jesus appeared in a body. Now, every single one of us appeared in a body. Animals appear in a body. It's not saying that God was manifest in the flesh, you see. It's taking away from the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's important to know, and you can tell who the spirit of Antichrist is, where the spirit of Antichrist is, if they do not confess that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. In John 20, 28 and 29, the scripture says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So you can see here that Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He acknowledged Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus said that if you believe and you have not seen, you are blessed. If you believe that he is God, that he is your Saviour, even if having not seen him, you are blessed for doing so. My Lord and my God. Christ acknowledged as Lord and God. In Revelation 1:6 shows the deity of Christ. The scripture says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Now, the scripture goes on to say, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Unto God and his Father. God and his Father. That's showing the Godhead there. It's showing the Godhead, because there's three persons of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God and his Father. So it's talking about God the Son and his Father, God the Father. And he has made us kings and priests. And he is worthy of glory and dominion forever and ever. And in Hebrews 1:8, the scripture says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom," in Hebrews 1:8. So who's that talking? God the Father is saying, unto the Son, God the Son, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." So Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus, being God the Son, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost at this time is here on earth, working in the earth. So Jesus has a throne which is forever and ever. And this reveals the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see here that the scripture is clear that Jesus Christ is God. He was manifest in the flesh for a specific reason. He always will be God. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our God, our Redeemer, our Saviour and our Lord. He is Lord in our lives. And we thank you for the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, our Healer, and he is our High Priest. He is everything. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.